All right, welcome everyone. This meeting will come to order. If everyone could please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. And now I'd like to invite Girl Scout Troop 42 from Newark to present the colors and then lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join us in singing God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her to the night with the light from above. White with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Color guard dismissed.
Thank you, Girl Scout Troop 42. Hey, everyone, please be seated. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr.
Clark? Here.
Mr.
Here.
Mr.
Here.
Mr.
Here.
Mr.
Kovac?
Present.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Retta?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiles?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. President, the rest of the 13.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Moving on to the approval of the minutes. Does any council member have any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting of November 8th, 2011?
Motion to approve is submitted.
Second.
Hearing none, and there's been a motion for the approval of the minutes that's been seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The minutes are approved. Moving on to announcements from members of council. Any announcements from members of council? Seeing none, we'll move on to item D on the agenda, introduction of ordinances. Madam Clerk, please proceed with the introduction of the ordinances.
Ordinance 11109 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 28 Planning and Chapter 40 Unified Development Code for UDC regarding comprehensive planning. Ordinance 11110, amend the capital budget increase appropriations for the information systems expansion project. Ordinance 11111, amend the grants budget, appropriate federal funding in the amount of $17,232,151 to the Section 8 Housing Choice Vouchers 2012 grant. Ordinance 11112, amend the grants budget, appropriate funding of $183,000 to the Summer Recreation Camps grant. Ordinance 11113, amend the annual operating budget, reduce the Department of Community Services fiscal year 2012 operating budget by $64,800 in order to provide funding toward the Summer Recreation Camps grant. Ordinance 11114, amend the grants budget, appropriate $400,000 in anticipated program income to the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 2. Ordinance 11115, to amend the Newcastle County Code Chapter 40, also known as the Unified Development Code, or UDC, regarding institutional residential uses, Type 2.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. All ordinances shall be considered at the December 13th Council meeting, with the exception of those items that require Board or Commission recommendations. Moving on to Item E, reports from Select and Special Committees. Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, this afternoon we had both a subcommittee on aging meeting as well as a community service meeting. At the community services meeting, we received updates from Marcus Henry, the manager of the community services department, on both federal and county issues. We also began the review forwarding on the universal design ordinance to outside groups, and we met this morning with Fred Fortunato from the Home Builders Association, who will be sharing the proposed ordinance with other members of the community.
Thank you, Councilman Miller. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Finance Committee met today at 1:30 up the 8th floor conference room, discussed several issues that will be on this evening, that are on this evening's agenda, and discussed some council rules in particular.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Retta.
Thank you. On November 9th at 9 a.m., Councilwoman Kilpatrick and myself on the Economic Committee met with Constellation Energy along with the administration in regards to savings of electric and solar with HVAC and heating.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. On Tuesday, November 15th, the Land Use Committee met. We heard two resolutions and an ordinance that we'll be discussing tonight.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Sheldon?
Yes, so on November 15th at 1:30, a special services meeting, we had Ameresco come before us, talk about the energy audit, the savings, and the solar, and all the projects that have been done, and phase two that will hopefully get done.
Thank you, Councilman Sheldon. We also had an executive committee meet today at 4:30, November 22nd. We conducted an interview, and discussed issues about council recordings being posted to the website. Any other reports from select or special committees? Seeing none, moving on to the consent calendar, item F. Our consent calendar is used to pass matters in a group that have been determined to be non-controversial by the sponsor, as communicated to the president or to the clerk. However, an item will be removed from the consent calendar upon a simple request from a council member or public if discussion is desired. I urge the public to speak up if there is a particular item of concern. Are there any items on the consent calendar which any council member would like removed? Seeing none, is there anyone from the public who wishes an item to be removed from the consent calendar? Girl Scouts, you don't have a problem with any of the consent calendar? Okay. All right. Seeing none, do we have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Second.
There's been a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 11178, recognizing the 67th Annual United Nations Universal Children's Day. Resolution 11179, thanking Girl Scout Troop 42 for their continuing volunteer efforts in Iron Hill Park. Resolution 11180, in recognition of Miss Teen Essence 2011, Jamila Mustafa. Resolution 11181, appointing Jason Ortiz to the Newcastle County Community Services Advisory Board. Resolution 11182, appointing to the Newcastle County Board of Assessment Review. Resolution 11183, appointing Sarah Jane Spaulding as the Library Advisory Review Board, appointing to the Newcastle County Community Services Board. Resolution 11184, reappointing Deborah Gottschalk to the Newcastle County Rental Housing Advisory Committee. Resolution 11185, appointing Lauren Wolfgang to the Newcastle County Rental Housing Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tockett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call is 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The consent calendar has been passed. Moving on to item G, presentations. I know we have at least one. Councilwoman Diller.
Thank you. Would the members of Troop 42 please come forward?
Just a selection of what they've done.
They have instituted litter cleanups. They've cleared walking paths, washed and scrubbed information signs, decorated and posted information posters, and helped maintain the bark park, cleared brush for tree planting, and much more. So I just thought it was appropriate. One thing we all know, the Boy Scout here keeps bringing in Scouts here. And we wanted to have, I just felt like it was very important to have a showing of Girl Scouts and what they can do. And these folks have just done a great job. Whit Knopf, who is with the Friends of Iron Hill Park, just raves about the work that you've done. And so thank you so much. I will read your names. We've included them in the resolution. Abby Borgard, Amanda Werbrick. You can come forward. Dana Story. Destiny Martinez.
We don't get out though.
Mackenzie Feeney. Maya Blackwell. Kayla Hayes. And Taylor Cameron. Folks, thank you very much for all you've done.
While we're arranging this Kodak moment, I just want to say Councilwoman Diller is right. Boy Scouts are very near and dear to my heart, having gone through the program. But something even more near and dear to me is my daughter, who is also a Girl Scout, the same age as you all, right? Seventh and eighth grade. Make sure you guys stay into your goal. Who's getting their gold award? Who's going to be earning their gold award? Oh, come on. All those hands up. Good job. Good. We got to stay in. Stay in until you get your gold award. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Congratulations again, and thank you to your leader. Does any other council person have a presentation that can top that? All right. Probably not. Moving on. Item H, consideration of other resolutions and or resolutions removed from the consent calendar. Resolution 11-186, Councilman Powers.
Yes, I move that resolution 11-186 be placed... be read by title only and placed before council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-186, plan of Farmington, Phase 3, Pencade 100, terminus of Hempstead Road, develop a subdivision of 11 single-family detached homes on 10.11 acres, NC21 zone.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Powers.
Yes, this is adding 11 single homes on 10 acres in Farmington. And hopefully so we can get it finished out or flipped to somebody else to finish it out. I guess if anybody has any questions, the attorney for Farmington is here, Richard Abbott. If anyone, I guess they can come forward, but I don't.
Councilman Tackett.
Just one quick one. Fans that I see, this is in Farmington and a Phase 3. Are we sure that Phase 3 has been incorporated into the maintenance corporation equally as the other two phases are, so they're one corporation and not separate corporations?
Well, Richard Abbott, on behalf of the applicant 395 Associates, the 11 lots are required to have a separate Maintenance Association and separate open space, but they are obligated for a proportional share contribution towards maintenance of the stormwater pond because this section discharges into the pond that is closer to Fraser Road, not the one near the entrance off Old County Road, if you're familiar with it.
And there's no way to have one maintenance organization here? That seems to be a little bit cumbersome to have 11
have separate
zones.
Open space. If we, the problem as a practical matter was that if we were going to become part of the prior, we'd have to have, I believe it was 3/4 approval from the existing 200 lots, which would be an exercise worse than herding cats. It's just not easy to get 150 some people to sign off.
Councilman Powers.
Yes, I would like to have Dave Colbert come up.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant right now? Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, just briefly, there would be nothing in the future to prevent the two maintenance corporations themselves from undertaking that process if they wanted to merge.
They may merge.
They could. I mean, once it's done, they could undertake that themselves if they so chose to follow the process.
They have a budding private open space. It would be a logical progression, and certainly, yes, just like any other corporation, they could merge and adopt a unified set of bylaws and operating procedures.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Culver, please state your name for the record.
Sure, David Culver, General Manager, Department of Land Use.
I guess over the past couple of years going over this, I think you and I have talked about making sure these maintenance groups are combined. Mm-hmm. And I tell you right now, I have a real problem. This is going to be separate because of all the maintenance groups that I have that are separate. It just becomes a nightmare. And to say you don't want to put up with a nightmare now, it would be a lot easier to go get that 75% right now than it would be down the road.
The way the maintenance declaration, and Mr. Abbott can correct me if I'm incorrect on this, the way it's written, the 11 lots in this phase are members of the other maintenance corporation for the open space maintenance of the stormwater ponds. And the rest of the open space on this area is all adjoining in the back of Farmington. So those 11 lot owners would basically be responsible for a very small area of open space that's part of the overall open space within Farmington, but they're also responsible to be members of the maintenance corporation of Farmington for the maintenance of the stormwater management. So they pay their proportional share of all the lots in Farmington for the stormwater management. The area of open space is basically an area in the back of the development, which is passive in nature. I don't believe there'd probably even be any maintenance costs associated with it, other than there is an old tax ditch that runs through that area. And basically, those lot owners then become responsible for their share of their stormwater management. So they're, in effect, functioning as one maintenance corporation for the stormwater management areas, which is the area that would be maintained in this project.
I mean, is that what we've been speaking about?
The area that's always been of concern is how do you maintain the stormwater management ponds, because that is going to be the area that would require probably a financial contribution into the overall project. So functionally, those 11 lots would be paying into that stormwater management fund for the overall Farmington development. There would be also a small little area that's required under the current regulations, under the current zoning for open space. That would be responsibility of those 11 lots. However, that open space is basically all contiguous with all the open space that is non-stormwater related within Farmington.
Most of their open space in 11 lots is woodlands that are wet, pretty much.
Right. So the predominance of this development that will have maintenance costs associated with these 11 lots will be equal partners with the other lots in Farmington. At some point in time, if they want to just basically re-record their maintenance declarations, they could combine it into Farmington all one phase instead of 1, 2, and 3. But the open space that has the stormwater ponds is the most concern to everyone because that's the area that would require the financial contribution for upkeep and maintenance.
So if the rest of them raise the maintenance corp rate, that's going to affect those 11 too, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's written that way.
Right.
Just want to make sure.
That's my understanding, that they are all equal partners within the maintenance corporation for the maintenance of the stormwater management.
Because, you know, if you're at a set rate right now, that doesn't mean down the road it's going to handle it for that subdivision.
Right.
And, you know, part of the problem in this subdivision has been the problems over the past working with the developer in that area, you know, in this subdivision. And, I mean, it's, you know, out of as much as Rich and I get along, it hasn't been one of, it's one of my worst work with.
Yeah, I did get through the development 2 weeks ago before the plan came down, and I went through all the streets. Overall, I think all the agreements that were made through the development process about how to keep the unbuilt lots maintained has been honored through this through the summer. I haven't had any maintenance complaints that I'm aware of.
It's a lot better than what it was, you know, in the past, you know, 3-4 years ago.
All right. So at some point in time, phase one, phase two would take ownership of the stormwater ponds along with phase three, and then the open space between phase two and phase three, which is in the back upper corner, would then just be maintained by phase two and phase three. They would probably ultimately just maintain it as a wooded area because it is all wet. I don't see any real maintenance costs within that area. The real maintenance cost that comes out of Farmington will be of the two stormwater pond sites, which is affecting the back area, but storm. Part of the whole process in working this project through with Cairns and Associates and the applicant was to make sure that the ponds that were put into place were sized appropriate to handle the flow from the rest of phase three, which we confirmed they were. We have the as-built drawing. So at some point, when we get to that 90 percentile of lots being built, that would probably be dredged out and then turned over to all three homeowner associations.
It would have to be dredged out.
Right. It would be finalized because it's going to still be operating as a sediment trap. And Tim, unless I'm wrong, I think it'll still be a sediment trap up to the 90% mark.
It would have to be.
And which is fairly typical of all subdivisions.
Yes.
Councilman Tackett?
Mr. Culver, I'm somewhat confused here, and you seem possibly to be oversimplifying a very complicated issue that we have to deal with as council members in the district. But from what I heard from the applicant, that phase three is only responsible for the stormwater. So therefore, if dues go up, they're going to have to only go up in three proportionally to whatever the stormwater would be, and then you're going to complicate a maintenance organization to try to figure out, you know, the calculation as to what it would be in phase three. This is the point where this needs to be simplified. Plus, you're going to have a separate set of deed restrictions. The phase three is going to have to go off and enforce themselves somehow and be some type of a small quasi maintenance corporation. When to simplify the process, it needs to be one maintenance organization, and they all can maintain the storm pond and they can work on their open space.
Well, I think that's making the situation much more complicated than I think it really is. Within a lot of neighborhoods, you might have different phases that have different maintenance corporations that have different responsibilities. Within this development, because you had a plan that has basically transcended three different code sections, you have three different type of maintenance corporation responsibility. Ultimately, the cost of phase one and phase two is with the stormwater management ponds that are located within those sections of the subdivision. So the cost is going to be the same to maintain those two ponds throughout the cost of those two ponds being maintained divided out over the lots. So each lot would be assessed the same responsibility for the maintenance corporation.
For the storm pond?
For the storm ponds.
What about the rest of the responsibilities?
The rest of the responsibility would be as it currently exists. Phase two has a portion in the back upper corner. I don't know if Tim can show that, that they're responsible for now, which is adjacent to the open space of phase three. I think under the open space management plan that was presented to the county, it's just basically going to be a naturally wooded area, so there would be little, if any, maintenance costs associated with it. So the maintenance costs that would be associated with the overall project would be for the stormwater management of the site.
And there's no other space anywhere that the maintenance corporation would be trying to work on or maintain or do anything with their funds?
Not that I'm aware of. They would only be primarily responsible for whatever they decide to do with the stormwater ponds as far as their annual maintenance costs to maintain those ponds. And if they choose to have, you know, snow plowing or anything done in the neighborhood, that will be certainly their choice. A maintenance corporation is up to be under no obligation to engage in any other activities other than what they're they have under their deed restrictions.
And what about the deed restrictions in three? Are they mirrored and identical? I mean, because
they
have to enforce their own.
But there's really there's no deed restriction there that's not typical in any maintenance corporation. I mean, the maintenance corporation language has changed since the inception of this project, but primarily they're responsible for the maintenance of their open space area.
I know what you're saying, and I hear you, and I know it sounds simply from your office and where you sit, but from ours and where we have to go out into the communities, it's a very complex issue, and it would be so much simpler if it was one maintenance corporation, that we're all united, they all live by this, everything together, they weren't separate, and you didn't have quasi-little maintenance corporations spread throughout the community.
I understand that, but the way the maintenance corporations were formed in each phase, that's how it was originally approved. So the way it was written, and the law department went back and reviewed it, it was basically the concern was throughout time, the maintenance of the stormwater management ponds. So that's how they do it.
That's the thing the county worries about, you're right.
Well, basically what ended up being is that if you went under Article 3 of the current county code for a regional stormwater pond, it'd be functionally the same thing. These ponds would basically be regional within that development for that maintenance, and that everybody that would be dumping water into it would have a common responsibility for where that water is going. And that's how basically that subdivision was developed back, you know, starting in the 80s through the maintenance corporation process. But I mean, when you have a development that was phased the way this development was phased, that's just an outcome that we have seen. We've seen other problems where open space was left into the ownership of a common person, and how do you maintain that when other people are dumping into it, but there's no maintenance responsibility, it ultimately would be a situation. But this actually has documentation within the maintenance declaration that would require the payment into that stormwater fund of all these lots equally.
Confuse what I'm saying. I agree with you. I think everybody should have responsibility to the stormwater pond. That community does. I just, with creating these small, independent, separate maintenance corps, it's just creating a potential nightmare in the future there for them, and they're going to have their own board, their own officers. You know, they'll have to probably build themselves, and then, I don't know, the original one will have to contribute into it. I dealt with it in Salem Woods for a while, and it's a nightmare.
I don't disagree that it's not problematic. But when you have a development that was built in phases like this, that's typically what would happen. I mean, if they turn around and just called this a totally separate subdivision that accesses through this neighborhood, a different name, and just said, you just pay into this, you pay into this, it would be functionally the same thing. It's all the same name. This is just phase through the development. There is a possibility that at some point in time they do come back in and say, we'll just do a master declaration for everybody and get everyone to sign off, where they'll just see if it functions the way it is. But since the majority of the cost that will be collected by any maintenance corporation to the homeowner is going primarily be the same amount for whatever that stormwater management pond maintenance will be.
I wish you could have fixed this before. I just don't see why it's so complex. You know, I mean, it's one community. It's a different phase. You just incorporate them in. You know, they know what's on the horizon. They know what's coming. They're under the same deed restrictions. You apply them evenly.
If there was a simple fix that I had the ability under the law to say you're not...
But what law? Is that county law or state law?
Under the county law to say you as a subdivision have to have one common maintenance declaration. I don't have that ability. This was recorded at a time where there were different sections that were subdivided out into larger lots that got developed under different sections of the code.
Is that the law today or is that the law then?
That was the law that was in place at the time that this was coming in. Today we would have had all those under an agreement under the maintenance corporation that they would all be combined at one point in time. But this was an old code plan that was under the old code regulations for development in which there was a phase or a lot, which was typical of some of the older subdivisions, that you would cut out a lot to say to be developed later, and that could have been through a rezoning process, that could have been through a different subdivision process or whatever. That's how this project was developed over time. So I think the correction to what happened over time on the subdivision is the maintenance declarations did give us the ability to require everybody to pay into the stormwater management fund, which is being done in this situation.
I guess I'm trying to simplify, but I don't understand if everything's exactly the same, the fees would be the same, the contributions would be the same. Let's just make them the same.
And if I had the ability to say we will make them the same, I would do that. But under the way the maintenance declarations were recorded on this property, I don't have that ability to say you have to combine them all. They were all done in this way. And now because there has been lots sold within the subdivision, as Mr. Abdiel was saying, then you have to get the two-third ownership of those lots. Now, if the applicant still owned two-thirds of the lots, we could have, which you might see in some of the older subdivisions, you could then make changes to the maintenance declaration. But when you have private parties that have been bought in under those maintenance declarations, they don't have to necessarily agree to take on additional open space burden or whatever else. they do have to agree to take on the shared responsibility of the facilities within that community, which is a stormwater management pond.
Okay, I'm not going to beat it up, but you just said there isn't any more responsibility. They're all going to be the same, so I don't, you know, I guess.
Well, the difference in responsibility is that there is a piece called Open Space Phase 2 for Farmington and Open Space Phase 3, so those areas would have some different rules and responsibilities in Phase 1, but all the lots in here are responsible for the stormwater management pond, which is primarily the largest cost of the maintenance corporation. It's not a perfect well, but the way this was developed over the last 25 years, there were the rules and regulations in place at the time. Under today's regulations, you wouldn't have seen the same type of situation, but this is an old code plan that's now under the old code, the revisions to the old code, and the UDC. So we're dealing with three different sets of regulations on the same piece of property. And it's problematic to land use, as problematic as for anybody else, but we're also looking at different regulations as we're looking at what was required under all those different codes.
Mr. Culver, you said this, I think I want to clarify. If this came forward today, if this was all under modern, current law, then the next phase would have to join in for the previous phase, and if we have a new phase, they would all have to join in and be under the same maintenance corporation. Is that correct?
Basically, that's what you would see. You just would see a master corporation that would all feed into one common declaration. For example, Bayberry South has different declarations because you have an age-restricted community within that development that will have different amenities that aren't for the rest of the community. So they will have their own maintenance declaration within that community strictly for the age-restricted, but then they have an overall declaration, how do you handle the overall development. So you would have, even within some developments today, larger developments, you may have different phases that have different responsibility of open space because of the type of housing or the type of project they're building. So age-restricted typically would have a different set of maintenance declarations associated with it, but they're all part of the master corporation. It's the same type of situation we have up at Dalty Green, where you have commercial and residential, but in the same community they have different maintenance responsibilities, but they all belong to a common maintenance corporation under one umbrella. And it's very complicated in some neighborhoods when you have larger subdivisions. It's especially complicated when you had old code regulations that were amended and then UDC regulations.
Any other questions for Mr. Culver? Councilman Powers?
Just so, not so much, but going over this, what kind of comes back and somewhat helps in turn Councilman Tackett is that Phase 1 is a pre-UDC. The ponds are pretty much the open space that's there. And, you know, this could work. The hardest part is going to be snow removal for 11 houses in the back. But, you know, it goes over so many years on so many different, you know, we're trying to tie in these different codes. It's a mess.
Anytime you're dealing with an old code plan and UDC plans, it becomes much more complicated from a regulatory standpoint. And when you deal with really old code plans where you have civic associations that don't have the ability to do things as a maintenance corporation, it becomes even more problematic.
Because technically right now, Phase 2 is to take care of the wetland open space that it has, and Phase 3 will take care of the wetland open space
right. That
it has. And really, there's not a lot of open space maintenance except for around the ponds, which will be maintained by the ponds.
And Tim can correct me from Karen's if I'm incorrect, but I believe the open space management plan for this site was basically said it'd be a natural area, not to have any active recreation or any maintenance, right, in the back. And when you go into the neighborhood and you drive into that back area, you can see where it is very wet, and you can see where there is a lot of mature or younger forest developing throughout that back area, and the best use for that land would be to let it to remain in that natural state.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Culver? Thank you, Mr. Culver. Just have a quick follow-up question for the applicant. We heard that the Phase 3 will assume proportionate responsibility for the stormwater pond. At what point does that get triggered? After they're built, or when does that responsibility get triggered for their proportional responsibility for the
maintenance handover? When the maintenance corporation is handed over by my client, which would be at the 90% sellout stage. So for 211 lots, you're looking at 189, I guess, or give or take. So,
any other questions for the applicant? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of this resolution, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-186.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiac?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Bretta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
No.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-186 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-187, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Resolution number 11-187 be read by title only and placed before council.
Second.
Resolution 11-187, plan of High Hook Farm, St. George's 100, south side of Van Smith Road, 3,000 feet east of Ashley Drive, major land development plan that creates 387 lots. As an open space plan, subdivision, workforce housing, as possession.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. We know, at last week's land use committee meeting, the applicant was not in attendance to make a presentation before council at that time. I've reached out to the applicant and their legal counsel to clarify the fact that I would like to move to table this resolution or this plan this evening, but my concern was one that we as council under the UDC are permitted to table two times back to land use if we have questions and things that need to be clarified. So in light of the fact that did not want to give up that particular benefit, reached out to the applicant, and I'd like to read their response before I move to table. This response has been forwarded to the Clerk of Council as well as Council to Council, and this is Sean Tucker on behalf of the applicant. Due to a miscommunications, we were not aware that this meeting was placed on last week's land use agenda. Our client accepts responsibility for this miscommunication. Accordingly, we respectfully request this matter be deferred until Council's next meeting in December. We understand that the UDC permits the tabling of this matter under certain circumstances up to two times. Please accept this email as confirmation that the applicant agrees that if any such tabling were to occur, the first tabling would be on December 13th, and that tonight's tabling would not count towards one of two possible tablings. Mr. President, I would like to move that Resolution number 11-187 be tabled.
Second.
There's been a motion made and seconded to table Resolution 11-187. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Resolution 11-187 is tabled. Thank you, Councilman Bell. Moving on, Resolution 11-188, Councilman Powers.
Yes, I move that Resolution 11-188 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration and adoption.
Second. Resolution 11-188, an act to approve the annexation of a parcel of land totaling approximately 0.83 acres by the town of Townsend in accordance with its comprehensive plan.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Powers.
Yes, it's pretty much what it's read. 1.83 acres annexed into the town, and it's under their comprehensive plan. It's in their annexation area.
Any member of council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject of this resolution, please step forward at this time. Seeing no one, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-188.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiac?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 18 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-188 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-189, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, I would request Resolution 11-189 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Resolution 11-189, amend the capital program, appropriate $62,500 of Delta Community Transportation funding for the general paving project for Concord Soccer Field parking area, sections 1 and 2.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Smiley.
And not to be redundant, as per the title, just to highlight that this is DelDOT funds that we're putting into our program for paving.
Any questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public for comment. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject of this resolution, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please read the roll on Resolution 11-189.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardy?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kopacker?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-189 is approved. Moving on to substitute number one to Resolution 11-190. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, I'd like substitute number one to Resolution number 11-190 to be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Substitute number one to Resolution 11-190 to reinstate the council grants program and to authorize a transfer of $97,500 from the council contingency fund to the council grants line.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Cartier.
Just going to, you know, paraphrase from the synopsis, resolution will authorize a transfer of $97,500 from council's fiscal year 12 contingency fund, which is $200,000, you know, in the contingency fund, to the grants line in council's FY 12 budget in order to make $7,500 available to the president, each of the 12 district council members, to provide grants to worthy nonprofit entities in Newcastle County pursuant to rules adopted by County Council. This grants program had a long history of success with this council. Was suspended in the light of the fiscal crisis, which impacted this county profoundly in 2008. I think it's the consensus of many members of council here that, you know, this continuing economic recession is having lingering impacts on our communities, nonprofits, various worthy groups, and I think it's the sense of council we want to return this program, which will be at half funding of it was historically funded at, to aid groups in our community that need our help.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I just want to say, I truly understand the reasoning behind this, and I in no way question the sincerity of my fellow council members with what they want to do. But for me, at a time when we continue to have every department of this county government be understaffed because our revenue has not reached a point yet where we can have the staffing requirements that we need in every department, and at a time when we continue to seek employee concessions in order to balance our budgets, I just can't support increasing council's budget for this purpose.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. I'd like to echo some of Councilman Smiley's concerns and also the appreciation for Councilman Cartier for bringing this forward. I believe this is very well-intentioned. I believe that all our nonprofits, we've all seen that, are very much hurting. My concern is that we're utilizing half the contingency fund significantly before the end of the year. We do have a lot of potential for unseen legal expenses. There are actions out there all the time, getting wind of new actions. That's a major concern. That's one of the things funded out of the contingency fund. Again, if there was a way to put this closer to the end of the year, I would have loved to have seen that. I understand that that's not the will of the sponsor to make this money available right away is the decision. I can't support this at this time because I'm very concerned about running out of the potential to deplete the contingency fund before the end of the fiscal year. So thank you for bringing it forward. I appreciate your efforts, but I can't support it.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, number one, recognize the concerns and opinions of our fellow council members. I think, you know, very good points are made. However, this evening, I will be supporting Councilman Cartier's resolution to return the partial funding. As we discussed in committee this afternoon, this is an unprecedented time in our history, in this county, in this country, as far as our economics. And while some are very fortunate today to be able to make certain concessions and provide certain givebacks and concessions for our budget, there are thousands upon thousands that are not so blessed and not so fortunate today and are out of work. I think that when you take a look at the ability to raise funds and contributions in this tough economic time, I think we have to take a look at the little bit broader picture here, and that is that, you know, we have food closets and other outreach programs that are a benefit to many who can't afford, in some cases, to put a meal on the table, that are struggling. We have other community organizations, senior citizen groups, and certainly the importance of our youth sports and athletic programs. So I think that this is a good resolution. It's something that I think that we can phase back in, and we can begin to help some of the folks that need our help at this point in time. And, you know, so I will be supporting this resolution this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Street and Councilman Dillon.
I appreciate the eloquence of the various points of view. And I have to, I know I'm going to pay for this later, but I have to recognize the history making of this resolution, because Councilman Smiley, the president, agreed on something 11 months later. But
I am reevaluating now.
I think that's a good idea. But I don't feel like being eloquent. I don't feel like following protocol. Here's the bottom line. Government entities across the board in Newcastle County, departments, unions, etc., they're reduced by 5%, they're reduced by 5%, they're reduced by 2.5%. Oh, we gave up 100% from the door. Consistent with what the state of Delaware through its grant and aid program did, first year of recession, they backed all the grant and aid agencies down 10%. The next year, they backed them down 10% more. The next year, 10% more. Last year, they brought some of it back. We're the only government entity, and I supported it, that gave up everything from the inception. Nobody else gave up 100%. We gave up all the grant funding. We gave up the bandwagon. And to me, it just, in retrospect, it didn't make common sense. It's not fair to some of the agencies that are dependent upon us. And to me, this just makes all the sense in the world. And here it is, being somewhat contentious again. And as I said earlier today, you know, I put 100% on the table. That point of view was lost, and I saw this as a compromise, and I just didn't see that there was going to be yet another hurdle to go through for just half. So, you know, I'm obviously going to support it, and again, you know, folks don't want to support half, and I think I still think it should be 100%.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Councilman Hollins? I'm sorry, Councilwoman Diller, then Councilman Hollins.
Yes, I'm going to support this tonight. When I came on council in 2009, there was a small amount of money left in the account. At that point, I made the decision that the money that was not processed prior to me coming on board would be spent on youth service activities as well as those agencies in the community that were meeting basic human needs. The area that I serve and part of the area that Councilman Tackett serves is a large stretch along Route 4. Those kids have nothing there. There's no PAL Center. There's no Boys and Girls Club. There's no Y. There's no community center. There isn't even a county park large enough that we can have sports teams in. So I will support this because the kids in my district deserve at least a little something here, and I'm voting yes on this.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. To Councilman Street's point, we are the only government in Delaware that I'm aware of that made the kind of sacrifice that county council did. Even the county exec's office did not do the same thing. We basically gave up everything, and most other jurisdictions, it was perhaps a portion of what they typically were giving out for worthy causes. I think we went too far in full recognition of the struggle this country's in right now in terms of this economic downturn. But we all represent the same people in Newcastle County, whether you're in the city government or the state government. However, when you're out at events for the neighborhood, it's usually only the county council representative that cannot make any kind of contribution. The city council members can make a contribution. The state legislators make a contribution. The county exec, if the county feels, makes a contribution. Only the county council members cannot make a contribution to these kind of events. I don't think it's fair to the people that also have an expectation from us. But furthermore, when I read in the paper just last week, as I mentioned upstairs this afternoon, in Sussex County, where the county council actually budgeted $140,000 in a county that represents 197 people. I'm sorry, 197,000 people. In Newcastle County, with a population of only 450,000 people, we're still only talking $97,000. So per capita, we are far, far less than what's going on in other counties in the state of Delaware. So while there's a cost associated with this, there's a cost associated with everything we do in Newcastle County to improve the quality of life for people who live here. And I think what these community groups do adds tremendously to that quality of life, far more efficiently than we can ever do, and in areas where oftentimes they're neglect, they're underserved, and we pay no attention to. We talk about the Route 9 corridor oftentimes because we feel this is an underserved population. Well, my church is along the Route 9 corridor. And on the 17th of next month, we have a truck from Campbell Soup in New Jersey, a tractor trailer with 10,000 cans of soup. That shows to me the need where we are. And just today, someone approached me saying that could my church provide food for their food closet. So there's a tremendous, tremendous need out there. And I would suggest for a council person to go back to half of what we had before is a reasonable consideration for the time that we haven't given people anything at all. It's not like this money is going to county council, as was implied at one of our last meetings. But what is the public or the employees going to think? Well, the employees themselves find it within their hearts to give through various different agencies, through unions and so forth, to try to help the needy people. I just think it came at a very good time. It's Thanksgiving. It's the Christmas season. I think that my heart and the hearts of those council members who want to assist these people is in the right place.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I won't be labor this anymore. There's been a lot of very valid points made. Certainly, you know, each council member will have to weigh the requests that come in, and they'll bring those requests forward if they see so fit. Two quick points I'll make here that I haven't heard, so as to not be redundant. First is the fiscal note's very important here. There's a zero impact on this at the end of the day. So regardless of some of the arguments somebody may make about some of the things going on, this still has no impact on that. This is our own budget, our own monies, and it's there. Secondly, we received an email, all of us did, from one of our unions at the county asking us about giving them some grant money to help them for their needy family fund. So, obviously, they're looking for this grant money also, and that came from county employees.
Thank you, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Powers, and Councilman Street. And
yes,
Councilman Swain.
You know, this was needed 3 years ago, and it's really needed now. There's a lot of groups, especially in my district, that are
that were really kind of funding themselves over the years and had never really asked for anything that are really hurting now. And it was kind of hard to say, I don't have anything anymore. And it, you know, you can, I know everybody's given up something, but there's a lot of people hurting a whole lot worse. So.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Street, then Councilman Smiley.
Well, I trust that however this goes, that everybody's going to act in good faith. It can be consistent with their vote. Now, Councilman Smiley has already said that if this passes, that he's not going to accept any grants, not going to distribute any grant money. And I trust that everybody that votes no, if this passes, is going to follow what they voted on. And not come in here and say one thing and then turn around after the votes pass, after others have fought for it, and do something else.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, and Councilman Street, thank you for raising that point, because I just want to also clarify for those members that may not have been at the Finance Committee meeting, may not have listened to the recording, that I also was very clear in following up that I would be going not voting on any grants that came before the committee to vote as well. So I just want to clarify that. I'm not going to vote no, so people can run out of this council and call the reporter and say, Smiley doesn't like to fight cancer, Smiley hates boys, Smiley hates girls, Smiley hates everything. So I will be going not voting on that. But I do want to clarify, and I don't want to be redundant either, but we've discussed this in two finance meetings. This is out of the contingency fund. The contingency fund is not part of council's budget. So council's budget will increase by $97,500. And again, I respect what everyone's doing, but we just need to clarify. The contingency fund is not a part, it's not listed in council's budget. And as for Local 459, the request for the grant, and I think I clarified that, that was a misunderstanding that they put the grant out. I don't know where that actually came from, and I responded to everyone. But to clarify, the reason they sent one for the grant and put that in there, from my understanding when they contacted me, was because they put one out personally asking each council member to help personally, and the response wasn't what they had hoped it would be. And, you know, as for caring about the people out there, I do care. I just choose to do it in a different way than some others. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. And to, again, agree to give Councilman Street a smile, to again agree with Councilman Smiley and say this is coming out of the contingency budget, and we may have contingencies before the end of the fiscal year, which is quite some way away. We have much greater need than $97,500. Much greater need. You know, but to take this out of a contingency fund and to utilize it deprives us of that contingency fund now before half the year is over. And I think that's an important note to make. And second of all, to Councilman Street's point, any council member that votes yes, no, not voting, or present should feel free to comport with any ordinance or resolution that is passed by council. You can be against the resolution, and when the resolution passes, you abide by that resolution as it is passed. There shouldn't be any pressure on anyone to not abide by whatever resolution is passed. If you are against using funding because you think it's not warranted for some reason, but everybody gets funding, that individual council person shouldn't feel any obligation to not help out his or her own district. So I'll differ with you on that one.
So just as I thought, what you're saying is you're going to vote no and use the grant fund in any way. So why don't you just be forthcoming?
Well, thank you for mischaracterizing my statements, Councilman Street, as apparently, you know, what I said is on behalf of the entirety of council, what you said was not something that we should have our individual council members, and as council president, it's imperative on me to make sure that that's clear. You can take a stand against the resolution because of whatever your principle is, and when it passes, you abide by whatever that resolution, the contents of that resolution is, and you support that. So every council member that votes yes or no, if this passes, should feel free to utilize that funding in that legally passed resolution. That's my point. I'm not saying whether I'm using it or not using it. I am against allocating this funding from our contingency budget now. So that's going to be my vote. Thank you. Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. President, I'd just like to go on record stating one thing, and that is the fact that I appreciate and greatly respect the honesty and the integrity of Councilman George Smiley and his position.
Seeing no members, no comments.
I'll remember that when I need a job.
It's a recorded reference, I believe.
It'll be within 24 hours.
It'll be posted within 24 hours. Any other comments from members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Please sign in the magic sign-in sheet. State your name for the record. You'll have 3 minutes for public comment. We want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to speak, so you are limited to 3 minutes. A yellow light will indicate when 30 seconds are... I'll wave my hand when 30 seconds are remaining. Please refrain from any personal attacks. Public comment is for the purpose of hearing your views. It's not appropriate forum for questions and answers. Council and executive staff are always available should you have any specific questions.
Apparently this gentleman never heard me on the radio, huh? With that last thing he said about them antagonized people. I'd like to speak on behalf of the concept of these nonprofits. They're not...
I'm sorry, could you identify yourself before you start?
Jerry Felcher, I'm the director of the Compulsive Gambling Council. It is not a feel-good giveaway. We save you money. When I testified 7 months ago at a trial of a compulsive gambler being sent to jail for 3 years and talked the judge into changing it, I just saved the state the probation. I just saved the state over $100,000. You're in history, and none of you were here, I don't believe, in 1981, were you, in these positions? Okay, 1981, County Council President Karen Peterson, with the approval of council, hired me to set up an employee assistance program. Hundreds of county people were saved from going to the devastating aspect of their addiction. We had a crisis intervention that went on. It was a proactive EAP program. Nowadays, unfortunately, the EAP program has sank to being reactive. Namely, let the employee get in trouble, and then we'll help them. Now, the program I set up that lasted all the years until the Gordon Freeberry administration did a very good job of saving money for the state. And most of us in this business are saving you money because you couldn't do what we do. Either because you don't have the talent to or you don't have the inclination to. Less than 6 months ago, I trained the entire staff of the state auditor's office. He told me I saved them about close to $100,000 because they were going to have to package it and take these inspectors to learn how to investigate corruptible financial matters in government. And now he doesn't have to because I taught him the information that was required. I just want you to know that we save you money in the long run in ways that you may not understand.
Thank you, Mr. Fulcher. Any other public comment? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on substitute number 1 to resolution 11-190.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardia?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
No.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
No.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 11 yes.
No. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Substitute number 1 to resolution 11-190 is approved. Moving on to ordinances. Ordinance 11-107. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. I would request that ordinance 11-107 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 11-107, amend the capital budget, increase appropriations by $62,500 of Dada Community Transportation Funds for the general paving project for Concord Soccer Field parking area, sections 1 and 2.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, this is the enacting ordinance to appropriate the $62,500 from the Del Dot Community Transportation Fund for the parking areas.
Thank you, Councilman.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
And just for clarification, while we're marking milestones, please note Councilman Weiner and I are co-sponsors on two pieces this evening.
Duly noted.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, we'll place on the public, before the public record, it was in the committee upstairs. This parking lot also contains a access for and a actual playing field for handicapped individuals to participate in soccer-related programs in the parking lot. So it's not just the parking lot, it's also a pavement area for young individuals with mobility restrictions. So thank you, Councilman Smiley. Any other questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 11-107.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Power?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card is 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-107 is approved. Moving on, Ordinance 11-108, Councilman Bell. Is this you? I'm sorry, Councilman Street.
That's okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
You're not still mad at me, are you?
No, I'm not. I could never stay mad at you, Councilman Street.
Well, I got to talk to you then.
I move that Ordinance number 11-108 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11-108, amend the grants budget appropriate $25,257 in federal funding to the Criminal Justice Council, reducing homicide and violent crime grant for Newcastle County Police.
Thank you very much, Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President, this would appropriate $25,257 in federal funding to, in an effort to reduce homicides and violent crime. It provides overtime, and as I stated upstairs in a committee meeting earlier, it's my hope that this will enable us to continue to reduce the number of cold cases that we have and maintain our good standing, as well as utilizing the money for its designated purpose.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Any questions, comments, members of council? I'll make a comment just because I want to applaud Councilman Street and Councilman Bell for bringing this forward. The Criminal Justice Council is an incredibly important purpose for our society. I know some folks on there, and I really appreciate your support of this, Councilman Street. Councilman Bell, thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from members of the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 11-108.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Power?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card is
13. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-108 is approved. Moving on, Ordinance 11-042. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Ordinance number 11-042 be read by title only, placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 11-042 to revise Chapter 40 of the Newcastle County Code, also known as the Unified Development Code, UDC, regarding exterior lighting for outdoor recreational uses.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think the synopsis sort of gives a pretty good summary of what we're looking at here, and that is the purpose of this text amendment is to recognize the potential adverse impacts when an outdoor recreational field or court is proposed for exterior nighttime lighting. The impact is greatest when the area is in close proximity to residential dwellings. This amendment will require a special use permit from the Board of Adjustment after a public hearing, and may result in additional conditions and restrictions as part of the approval to protect adjacent property and neighborhoods. Currently, Mr. President, there is no provision under the current UDC regarding exterior lighting and outdoor recreational uses for such a public hearing or for such restrictions or conditions to be placed upon the use of this type of lighting. In committee, we heard testimony from one of the residents of Emerald Ridge, and I think for many of us, we have went to that area. We have taken a look. We have observed. The problem that they experience today in Emerald Ridge and in Durd certainly gave them no opportunity to speak to anyone before it was approved, nor were there any restrictions or conditions put on those lights prior to them being turned on. This is an effort to hopefully prevent situations from like this from occurring in the future. It is not in any way, shape, or form to take away from sports or athletics or community sports and athletic groups. We understand that there is a fee to apply to the Board of Adjustment to put up this type of nighttime lighting, but we think it is something that is necessary. The code simply doesn't answer the problem. And not that this is the total resolution, and not that the code cannot be looked at and possibly changed in the future, but I want to thank very much Councilman Smiley for working closely together with me on this. We all share a lot of areas, residential areas, and that our neighboring areas of our respective council districts. We think that this is a good resolution and ask for council's consideration.
Thank you very much, Councilman Bell. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, first, I'd like to apologize to my fellow council members for not having been at the Land Use Committee meeting where this was discussed, but as I'm sure was reported in my absence, I was at the Financial Advisory Council meeting. So that's where I was. I attended both the public meeting on this, there was no comments against it. I was also attended the business meeting where it did receive approval from the planning board and from the land use department. It received their recommendations. There was one member of the planning board who spoke and that they're actually voted against it, and their concern was the cost to nonprofits. And I don't take that cost lightly. Of course, I have to also look at, you know, the fee for the special use permit. If I understand it's not easy to raise money, but if a nonprofit can raise the funds it would take to put up lights that would require something like this, I have to feel that it's a little bit more of a stretch, but not a lot, for them to be able to come up with those funds. At the same time, I have to weigh, for me, the needs, or put it this way, the wishes of a nonprofit to have a lighted sports field against the right to try to do something to protect the quality of life for those people in Newcastle County that are paying the full tax ride to operate this county. That is a concern. That is a concern for me. So that's where I am with this. It's one avenue that I think is fair. I think it's consistent with what I've heard many, many members of this council speak over the last 9 months, year. Open government, stream our meetings, community involvement, awareness. I've taken criticism for quite a while over sponsoring the legislation to the two-step process. I still stand by that, because all it did was remove a bully pulpit for a half a dozen people with their own agendas. But the argument has been, or being chastised, is that I took away community involvement. Well, that's what this piece does. It provides for community involvement to work with whomsoever wants to put a lighted sports field up. It requires them to come to the table. And again, unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand, and I'll be honest with you, it's confusing for me when I first came on council, that the land use, which is part of this government entity, has less authority to put parameters and restrictions up than a volunteer board does. but that is the way it is. And the Board of Adjustment would have that authority to listen to the residents, to listen to their concerns, and hopefully there would be a resolution between the parties which could be put into the parameters around the lighting. So.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Powers?
Yes, you know, a $2,500 fee I don't take too lightly for ball diamonds, football fields, soccer, rugby, tennis, basketball. When I feel it could be regulated, I mean, the problem they have at Emerald Ridge is the pole is right off 5 foot off the property line. And we, you know, in code has plenty of distances, setbacks. And I feel that's where the place should be. Right now on wells, we have a cone that comes up from the depth of the well. That's how far we can't build around that well. It could be almost a cone the exact way going down that you couldn't be, you'd have to be that far off depending on the height of the pole. And this is $2,500 for something that really isn't needed this way.
Thank you, Councilman Powers. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am not going to support this ordinance, not because I don't think that there's a problem, and not because I don't think we should try and fix that problem, but I don't think that this ordinance fixes this problem. This is, if you want to put lights up within 500 feet of a residential property or a potential residential property, 5.5 feet is basically a football field and a half. Just saying that lights cannot be a football field and a half away from somebody's house is not going to fix. It's not going to fix the problem. We need to figure out a way that we can direct the lights. Lights are getting better every year. They're more directional. They're smaller impact. And I think we need to look at fixing the problem from the perspective as to what is really going to fix it, not just a linear distance.
Thank you, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Councilman Weiner.
Yes, I am going to support this legislation. However, it's my reading of the Unified Development Code that there really is language in here which addresses the problem in Emerald Ridge already from 1998 and 2002. Having said that, I'm going to support this legislation, but I just want to make a record of the fact that I think there's language in the code already which addresses it.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. From the testimony that we heard in the committee meeting, and the interpretation of our land use department of that code language, it appears that there may be some issues with the potential ambiguity of that language or interpreted ambiguity of that language. There are limitations for light and candlelight at a property line. You know, so we need to make sure, I think, going forward basis, that we really look at that underlying ordinance, make sure that it is clear. If land use has an interpretation of that statute that wasn't the intent of the council, then I think we need to address that and should try to address that. I applaud the sponsors of the resolution for this. I share concerns of Councilman Powers that if you give somebody an opportunity to be heard, if you still have an underlying statute that's potentially ambiguous, that even the special use permit hearing that's going to be conducted by the Board of Assessment won't be able to figure out if the light should go there or not. So I appreciate bringing the public into this process. I think it's a good thing to bring the public in, but until we address the underlying issue of the potential ambiguity of the statute of the UDC, I think the problem was probably going to persist. But, again, I appreciate the intent of the statute to address an underlying problem. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I have to agree with you on that if we know that there is a place within this code that needs to be fixed because it's ambiguous, then that's where we need to go, not to look at a Band-Aid that just gives a linear footage and does not address the problem.
Any other comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak, please sign in, step forward to the podium, state your name for the record. And we will give you, all members of the public, 3 minutes to speak. I'll wave frantically when 30 seconds are left of your presentation time, and please refrain from any inappropriate behavior. Please state your name for the record.
Thanks, everyone. My name is Frank O'Donnell.
I live in a home in the Emerald Ridge development. And for me and for many of us, that home was a dream home. And in September of 2009, that dream became a nightmare. I think that nightmare happened when the Department of Land Use authorized Red Lion Christian Academy to build football stadium lights 2 feet from our residential community without any thought for our community or without any notification. I'm here to say that now, 2 years later, I'm still fighting with the Department of Land Use. And while I appreciate the efforts of Councilman Bell and Councilman Smiley to introduce this ordinance, as many of you said, I strongly believe that the code as written today is enough to protect us, and it's not for the absolutely what I believe egregious interpretations, actions, inactions, and inconsistent rulings over the last 2 years of the Department of Land Use is why we're here today. I think many of you may have been on council before when the ordinances that you thought were protecting the community from instances like this were introduced and were passed the law. You thought you guys had the protection right. Today, the Department of Land Use is here to tell you that those codes that you thought were sufficient were poorly worded. I don't know why most of these laws were even written or worded the way they were when the Department of Land Use is not going to consult you to get inside your mind or get inside the interpretations or the reasons for why you guys did what you did. First and foremost, there's no notification to any, there's no notification in the existing code, which needs to be overhauled. The limited hours of operation that's in the code today, there's nobody defining limited. There's no limited use standards that define when they need to turn these lights on and off. The code today says the maximum permitted illumination shall not exceed 1/10 of the foot candle at the residential property line. This is important. For almost 1 year, the Department of Land Use told us that, like every other person who's investigated this, DelDOT, State Representative Longhurst, any of the councilmen who've been out there, we all read it like reasonable people to say that this was point one and beyond. This is the way the planning board and everyone introduced it. It wasn't until we audited their results and showed that the lights are almost 50 times that, 20 yards past that level, that they came back and said that that light level only needs to be 0.1 at the property line, a property line on the ground that could be covered by a bush. It defies common sense and common logic, and I don't even know if it defies common law. The reality is there's other instances of the lighting generally sections. If you talk to Councilman Bob Weiner or the planning board when this was introduced, the lighting generally section was introduced to protect the community from non-residential uses. It was wide open to say non-residential uses. Today, Dave Culver's here to tell you that when you voted that into passage, that law, he said that only had to do with malls and permanent structures. It wasn't talking about ball fields. Well, I ask you, who's making those interpretations? Let me agree with Councilman Kilpatrick. The law, the code as it's written today, can protect us, but who will protect us from the Department of Land Use? Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone in the audience wishing to make any other comments or respond? Seeing none. Any further questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 11-042.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
No.
Mr. Kovac?
No.
Mr. Powers?
No.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card is 10 yes, 3 no.
Ordinance 11-042 is approved. Moving on to item J, time-sensitive or honorary resolutions. I believe Councilman Street has a resolution number 11-191. Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President, I move that resolution number 11-191 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Resolution 11191, recognizing and celebrating the Omega Pi Phi fraternity on its 100th anniversary.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President. As per title, this recognizes Omega Psi Phi fraternity on its 100th anniversary.
and I should be completely forthcoming. I am a member of this fraternity and also was on the charter line at the University of Delaware in 1974, as reflected also in the resolution.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Any questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, any questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-191.
Bell?
Yes.
Cardiac?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Mr. Kopater?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Power?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President Earl Parvios, 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-191 is approved. Moving on to item K, introduction and consideration of emergency ordinances. I do not have anything any member of council know of any. Seeing none. Moving on to item L, public comment. Any member of the public wishing, Councilman Hollins.
I just want to announce, Mr. President, again, we did this afternoon that at the meeting on the 13th, I anticipate we will have an emergency ordinance, so council members who have made any questions or concern, this is regarding the NSP dollars that we will be receiving from Sussex County, I believe, who couldn't spend all of those, but we have to do it as an emergency in order to get it and get it operational before we have a certain amount of time to spend it. NSP 2 funds that will be coming from us from another county.
Councilman Holmes, thank you for bringing that up again on tonight's record. That will be posted within 24 hours on the internet. So thank you for mentioning that and making the public again aware of that. Any other comment, public comment, other? Anybody, any member of the public wishing to address council, please come to my left, your right, sign in. You'll have 3 minutes to address council again. We ask you speak your views on a specific issue. This time is not the appropriate forum for questions and answers. Council and executive staff are available should you have specific questions. Please state your name for the record.
Vincent Buffone. My name is Vincent Buffone. I live at 20 Fox Den Road in Newark, Delaware, and I'm here to speak in reference to proposed ordinance 11-115 that I believe was read this evening by Mr. Kopater. This proposed ordinance is designed to allow Delaware Hospice to build a facility not currently allowed under the UDC on 15 acres of farmland that surrounds my home. Delaware Hospice inquired to the Department of Land Use in September of 2008 regarding building a hospice facility on this S-zone partial. The Land Use Department responded that the inpatient care use was allowed as a limited use. They cautioned, if you were to establish an office building to serve Delaware Hospice, Inc., for example, it would require a rezoning. Delaware Hospice presented an exploratory plan on 6/15/2009 showing a 52,000 square foot print for a 24 bed inpatient care facility. In March of 2010, they presented a preliminary plan showing an 89,000 square foot print for the same 24 bed facility. The Department of Land Use issued an administrative decision in November of 2010 denying the plan's proposed office use and administrative commercial use due to the S-zoning. Delaware Hospice appealed the decision to the Board of Adjustment, and the Board of Adjustment sided with the Department of Land Use in their decision filed in January 20th of this year. Delaware Hospice has appealed that decision to the Delaware Superior Court. The Department of Land Use and the Board of Adjustments have correctly applied the current Newcastle County UDC to this project. New County Council should not open Pandora's box with this proposed code text amendment ordinance. This ordinance would allow large-scale office commercial uses in a low-density residential zoning. Please consider the long-term ramifications of this proposed ordinance to all S-zone parcels in Newcastle County. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. And as you mentioned, this is has been introduced and will be referred to the Land Use Department and Planning Board for its recommendation. Thank you. Thank you. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Can I just correct one statement that he made, that no law is retroactive? Hospice already has a plan submitted.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions, comments? Seeing none.
Motion to adjourn.
Just a point of information.
Yes,
Councilman Weiner. Policy Director Boyle had told us to turn off our mics after each council meeting. Just a friendly reminder to everyone.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. I believe we have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
And we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Meeting is adjourned.
But leave your mics on.